Hi, listeners. It's Madison from On the Block. I just want to quickly remind you, if you are enjoying this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening. It truly helps so much keep this podcast alive. This week, I am so excited to share the episode with you because just like her, it is a total ray of sunshine. I had a wonderful chat with Big Brother 23's very own TikTok queen, Brittany D'Angelo. She was just as bubbly as you can expect, and it was so much fun to talk to her. I cannot wait for you to hear it. So, here is my interview with Brittany D'Angelo.
Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. How are you?
Oh my God, life is just great right now, man. It's just, it's a good time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, what a great time to be Brittany.
You know, there have been good times to be Brittany. I will say this is one of them. But no, honestly, I just like, it's been the craziest reaction coming home too, just because like everything has just been so overwhelmingly positive. And I literally cannot thank everyone and everyone enough for that, because it really just has been so wonderful. Like, I'll be honest, like coming home, it's been, and honestly, like, you don't know what it's going to be like when you come out of the house. You have no idea what that perception is going to be like. You have no idea what people are thinking, but I'm really, really glad for me, at least in my case, it was on the positive side. So that was great.
Yeah, no, I love that for you. And I think it's so well-deserved. I mean, and we'll get into this, but just from my perspective, like the most positive person I think I've ever seen on this show. Like you were not involved in quite literally any drama.
Nope.
Clear. It's amazing. And especially as I have just recently experienced, BB Twitter is rough. So you dodged a huge bullet just by being yourself, which is so cool.
Oh, thank you. Also, your hair is stunning.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. It's stunning.
That's so nice. I haven't washed my hair in. So that's, isn't that
crazy?
Oh my
gosh.
I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. Like that wasn't like a joke. It's like literally been.
Wow. I would have never been able to tell.
Thank you. Thank you. I should go on Big Brother. I can go a long time without
you. You know, that would work with you for being a have not, because you know,
totally.
Cold showers suck so much.
Yeah. Okay. So how many times were you a have not?
One time.
Oh, you lucky.
That was one time too many for my stomach. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. So you all were like really creative with the slop though.
We were. Yeah.
But I've never seen that happen before where they're just eating it like straight up slop.
Yeah. I mean, there were times where I would eat the slop in the bowl and I would eat it like regular slop and I'd make it in my pot or whatever with all my gluten-free and dairy-free ingredients or whatever it was. But there we got creative. Like a really big thing that I did my week was I made slop cookies. Claire taught me how to do them that were the vegan and gluten-free ones so I could have them. So basically you just take the slop recipe, you put it in the fridge and let it soak in the milk overnight. And then you just lay it out on a pan and bake it. And then you cut out the squares and you like make slop cookies. So I would douse mine in maple syrup and everyone's joke in the house would be like, oh, do you want some slop cookies with your maple syrup? And I said, no, because this is how I'm eating this, guys. Don't judge.
Oh my. So you're vegan. I didn't know that.
No, I'm just dairy free. But anything that is vegan also is dairy free because they can't have milk. So it just works out, or any dairy product. So it just works out that if it's vegan, I also can have it unless it has wheat in it.
Right. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. Claire and I wear the dietary restrictions. Also SB, because SB's a pescatarian.
Yes. Okay.
But cool. We're the only three.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Sorry, we just like jumped right in.
Oh my gosh.
Right
of course. Thank you. I've been so looking forward to this one. Chada could not have talked more highly about this interview. Stop. And just literally said she had such a blast with it. So I was like, I'm so excited that she asked me. I was like, oh my God.
No, I'm so excited. I was so excited to talk to you just because you were so like nice. And I'm just so curious. Like, I have so many questions that might be like maybe off limits. So you can say no, but
okay.
Certain points where there were drama, I'm like, I want to know, you didn't say anything, but I'm like, what was going through Brittany's head when everyone else is kind of, you know, going at it. Now, we did see you get mad, which I loved, when you were evicted. Your yes. Kyland rap is like one of my favorite things you've ever done.
Yes.
Ever. So oh funny. Oh my gosh. Have you talked?
Yes. Okay. So this is actually a really good question. Kyland and I have spoken because basically my kind of whole philosophy going into the postseason was, look, I understand people do things for the game, but what I really wanted is like, hey, we're a family. At the end of the day, I want to have game be game and hopefully have a relationship outside of the game. And so for me, I was like, look, at some point we're going to have to talk. It did not happen until just last week. Cause honestly, I needed time away from the game and away from everything before I had that conversation with him. And then no, we talked and he was the first to apologize for everything. He apologized for every negative and condescending thing that he said to me. He owned up to every one of them. And I explained to him, I said, look, Kai, I said, I genuinely do want to try and be friends with you outside of this game. I said, but what I need to know and what I need to tell you is the reason why I was having such an issue with everything that you said to me wasn't necessarily the comments. Now, I have never been spoken to in the way that Kyland had spoke to me before. And that's what made me so upset, because I've worked so hard in my life to get here and I don't deserve to be talked to in that manner ever in my life. But what killed me the most, though, was that I just didn't feel respected by him. And that was what I was really toying with, because I was like, look, he's in the final four. He could potentially be in a final two chair. I may have to decide if I'm voting between him or somebody else. And I want to be objective. I don't want to play it personal, but I feel like you don't respect me. So how do I give you $750,000?
No, you know, that's a really good question. And I think that goes into, there is this debate when you're in the jury of what was game and what was personal. And do they overlap in a way? Because part of it is jury management. And absolutely, that part is a little bit personal when it comes yeah. to relationships, how you were treated in the house, all of that stuff. And so that is a really good point. You know, even if you did or didn't vote for him, him treating you a certain way could have still been a valid game decision.
It could have. I mean, when we talked last week, he even told me that one thing he did not care about in the house was jury management. And that showed it just, he said that that was one aspect of his game. He really didn't take accountability for it because he thought that if he did all the moves he did and still got there, he would still have the respect of some people. Now, he never was counting on my vote. I've been told that by him and by multiple other people. He was never counting on my vote, which honestly, he probably wouldn't have got it. But at the same token, when I was in the jury house and I found out who the final four were, I made a pros and a cons list for each of the jurors. And it was not for Big D, Azza, or X. It was for Kai, because I wanted to evaluate all of their games objectively so that I could go on a round table and actually have an argument for this person and not just be like, he disrespected me, I'm not giving him his vote. I genuinely wanted to look into pros and cons of everyone's game. But no, that was the biggest thing. And even a lot of the disrespect and a majority of the disrespect came after I was backdoored. Like after I was already locked in to go home, after there was no hope of me staying because of the cookout, that was when all the disrespect came my way. That was when the threat started. That was when the lack of comprehension comment was made. That was when just all the disrespect and getting in my face and things that like my friends and family at home were like, what the hell's happening? Like, she's already going home.
Right.
Like, why are you treating her like this? Like, let the girl enjoy the next 3 days, you know? And that's why it was so crazy, because at that point in jury, I was like, I don't really owe him anything. And that includes, I don't owe him a jury vote either, you know, but no, I was really glad we were able to talk all of that out. I mean, at least a good majority of it. I think we do still have a couple more conversations to have just in terms of understanding each other and the way that we think, and also growing from this experience as well, because he really made a point to me in that conversation to tell me, look, I want to grow from this and I want to improve from this situation so that I don't make these mistakes again. And I said, okay, then we can use this as a learning opportunity for you,
yeah,
in our interactions. And hopefully that's what we'll do. But no, I truly hope that we can be like, we're a family at the end of the day. We went through a really unique experience together. I hope that we can be friends outside of this. And I think we will be, if we keep working at it the way that we are, I think we will be.
Yeah, no, I think it sounds like absolutely. Yeah. That is incredible to hear. And I think it just speaks again to like your personality of just like being open to those conversations. And yeah. I think that's really fantastic. So, okay, let's back up to, you were a fan of the show.
Yes. Oh, of course.
So you've
Oh,
seen
of course.
it, you were like
Yes.
watching, and then at what point were you like, I want to be on the show?
Yeah. So my first ever season that I watched was season 16. I started watching the show when I was 18 years old. But I had like gone back that same year and watched previous seasons. But season 16 was the one that got me hooked. It was with the Hitmen of Derek and Cody. And right when I saw them demolish the game as the two, I was like, I need to sign up. So that was when I was 18. And then I applied last year for season 22, made it to semis, but then got cut before finals. And then obviously it turned into an all-star season, so none of us got on. And then this year I put in a video, honestly, on a whim. Because I was like, you know, I'm in the crux of my master's program. I was graduating in May. Why not throw an audition tape to Big Brother in there and see if it catches the line? You know what I'm saying? So I put in the tape, and here I am, somehow an ordinary girl from Niagara Falls, New York, was on reality
No, it's amazing. It is like truly so fantastic. And I
Thank
think that
you.
was something that I loved about this season as a whole was
Yeah.
everyone seemed so normal. Like it
Yeah.
wasn't,
They
you
were
didn't have
very normal
anyone
people.
who was like, oh, I'm a social media influencer, or oh, I'm like doing this. It was like everyone was just like very normal and like had real jobs or had really big ambitions and was trying to do stuff or was super smart.
Yeah.
That also leads to my next thing. Hannah was the like secret genius, but you, my friend, are also insanely smart. You
Thank you.
graduated with a 4.0 with
I
two
did.
undergraduate degrees,
I
and
did.
you just finished your master's.
I did.
So, like, that is insane. You
Thank you.
were. You came in and you didn't even talk about that.
Well, because if I had mentioned to people that I was the valedictorian of a college, I felt like I would have got kicked out. There were two things that I felt like I would have literally been kicked out the door if I had mentioned that I was a fourth degree black belt, or I had mentioned that I was valedictorian. They were either going to be like, this girl's too smart or this girl's too strong. But also, I mean, I came in the first day in track pants and a tank top. So you were already going to see that I was an athlete.
It's true, you
So
did, which I loved.
I did. Yeah, that was I will say that was not a choice. That was actually an outfit that they picked out for me, which honestly, love the outfit, love the pants, love the top. It was such a comfortable outfit, but it was crazy because at the beginning I had all these dresses for like opening day, and I was like, I'm so excited to pick one of these dresses, and they're like, well, we're actually going to have you try this on. And I said, oh, okay. And they were like, yeah, they're like, we just think that you'll be really comfortable. And I said, I mean, facts. Like, I didn't care what I was wearing as long as I got to be on the show. I was like, dress me up in whatever. You want to put me in a ballerina suit? Go ahead. I was like, sure,
Totally.
why not? But no, it was so funny because then we get to obviously where like I see Azza, Alyssa, and Whitney for the first time on the opening day, and they're on these beautiful, stunning dresses. And I'm like, I missed a
Uh-oh.
memo. We missed the memo.
Oh
But it was
my
okay because that
gosh.
comp was super physical. And honestly, I really enjoyed wearing my sneakers, track pants, and tank tops.
Yeah, I mean, you saw like Whitney took her shoes off. So, like,
Yeah.
yeah, you were definitely
I was dressed and
wearing,
ready to go.
yeah, the best outfit. That is interesting. So, when you got into the house, I have more questions about pre-house, but let's,
Yes.
since you're
Okay.
talking about it, when you got in, were you thinking like, I want to take in at least a couple minutes before I start gaming? I'm in the Big Brother house. I'm a fan. I want to run around, see the rooms, and like kind of take it in, and then I'll start gaming. Or
Yeah.
like, were you just like, I mean, you started out with a comp like minutes after
Minutes.
you got there.
Yep.
So were you just like, cool, game on, let's start.
Yeah, I mean, it was really crucial for me because I didn't really know what was happening after we played that HOH in groups to start. So right when I walked up there, I was constantly talking to people on the balcony, and I was constantly like at least trying to like introduce myself to everyone and kind of have little small talk conversations. Because I didn't know who had won in the previous round of mine. I didn't know it was Frenchie. So then obviously I'm talking to everybody, I'm trying to make relationships. Then we win the first comp, which is fantastic. And then at that point, I was like, look, I'm safe for the next 7 days. I got time. I'm going to run around this house and do what I need to do. Because at that point, I was safe for the next 7 days and I wasn't going home no matter what. So,
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. So you were Team Joker,
Team
obviously.
Jokers.
So that was exciting for you. I mean, it was
Yeah.
cool to watch you get excited. You got picked. It was really cool.
Yeah.
You and Frenchie must have connected in some way when you
Yeah.
were up there, because he picked you. Have you ever run scenarios in your head about if you had gotten picked on another team?
Yes.
What would be your second choice?
Yeah, my second choice would have been the Kings.
Yeah, they dominated.
Yeah, well, only because too, and I think I was listening to, because obviously when you're in jury and like you do your press questions after you get evicted, you can't hear what the other interviewers are telling you. So you just submit your pre-recorded answers. Derek and Cody had said, look, they're like, Brittany knows this game, but it came down to her team pick was where her game went wrong. It was just the luck of her team pick where she had Frenchie, who Frenchie started Frenchie's Funhouse week one. Love you, Frenchie, if you're listening to this. Frenchie and I talk almost every day, but he started Frenchie's Funhouse. Then we had two members of the cookout, and then it was me. And so I was just in a like, I was like, no one would want to work with our team because we had a Frenchie. Two of the members of our team were already like, they were already protected because of the cookouts. So then it was just me. And I was like,
Yeah.
hey. So I
But you
think,
had Azza who was fighting to get you off the block. I
I
mean,
had both of them, man. I
volunteering to go
volunteering.
off the
Oh,
block.
I mean, that's why I don't regret being on Jokers at all, was because as much as like the team twist was very interesting and was a the team twist kind of was a detriment to my game, but it really wasn't though, because the team twist brought me my family. The
Yeah.
team twist
And
brought
it
me
did
Azza and
feel
Baby.
like Yeah, they you all were very close.
Oh, for sure.
And it felt like they really helped. I mean, I don't even want to say like protected you because you held your own, but
Yeah.
it felt like they helped as much as they could as far as they could.
Absolutely. 100%. And I would 100% agree with you on that fact. You know, that's why like I'm so proud of you, Joker. Coming out of the house, like I've heard so many people be like, "Jokers are my favorite team." And I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Even like house guests who came to jury, like replaced my spots and found it an honor to replace me on the Jokers. Hannah now, Ochada only claims the Jokers. She's like, "I don't even claim the Aces, I claim the Jokers." Alyssa became me and was like, "I claim the Jokers." Everybody wanted to be a Joker.
Yeah, it's true. It was a
Everybody
great
wanted to be a
team.
Joker.
So that is actually funny that you mentioned Frenchie's Funhouse, or Frenchie's Reign of Terror, whichever you
Whichever you want to
want to
call
call
it,
it.
both are acceptable.
What was going through your head? Because you were something we noticed about you were fiercely loyal to your team, which is
Yep.
very respectable. And Azza played a similar game in that where she was loyal to the people that she was really loyal to.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot to be said for that kind of game. Sometimes in the Big Brother house, it's tough
Yeah.
because when you have someone like Frenchie who you are loyal to, and then everyone's sort of going after them, it's like, oh no, what do you do? What was going through your head when people started sort of saying, oh, he's next, he's got to go?
Yeah, I obviously was concerned. I mean, that entire first week, Big D was really up there with Frenchie for a lot of those conversations. Azza and I, if y'all notice, we hid in the boat room the entire week. We were like, call us when it's done. Like we're already safe. But no, we were very concerned because obviously at the end of that week too, Frenchie was trying to create so many alliances. That was where Frenchie's kisses happened, where apparently I created that alliance. Ha ha ha. I wasn't there. I mean, that must be a talent if I can create an alliance that I'm not present for.
Truly.
But no, he was really trying to do as much as he could to cover himself. And at that point, we had heard obviously that Frenchie was a huge target with a lot of people. And I was like, this is not looking good for us. And immediately I start getting nervous because I'm like, I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know if they would put up two people from the same team. I don't know if they would split it one and one. I don't know what would happen. So, and then Kylan wins, and I'm like, maybe this is gonna go bad. Maybe this could go bad. Maybe, but like also I had hope though, because I had helped Kylan navigate the block the week before. I had been there for him. We had gone through conversation after conversation together. I literally told him what conversations, like I helped him, like in terms of like what conversations to be in and when he would need to take himself time. Like we talked that entire week about him navigating the block. And then week two happens, and I woke up that Friday and just did not feel good. I was like, something's wrong. Something's very, very wrong. And obviously I saw why. So you get an instinct though. You have an inkling when you're in
Yeah.
that house. Even Xavier's week, I had an inkling. I was like,
You were on the block how Three or four times, four times. Oh my gosh. Yes. We, on the podcast, we ended up, I think we called you Blockini because you were on the block.
Yes. So okay, I'll take it.
But it's actually, I mean, you and Xavier were on the block the most.
Yeah. Xavier
out of everyone. By one. And then he won. So you're in good company. I mean, I think it says a lot to be on the block so many times and stay. I mean, that is a skill in and of itself, I would say, because it's very easy to be like, okay, she's gone. But you were like, nope, I'm fighting. You fought every time you're on the block.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely wanted to use the block to my advantage. The block ended up becoming a huge part of my strategic game, was being able to have unsolicited one-on-one time or group time with anyone at any point in time because I was on the block. And if I needed to talk to them about something, I would use that time to my advantage. My one-on-ones on Wednesdays would take anywhere from 7 to 8 hours because I would just sit with people and have them tell me everything that I missed. And they would just open book it to me because they trusted me. And that was how I was able to build those relationships. I mean, I have to give myself some credit. I mean, I was the only person not in Royal Flush or Cookout to make it to jury. I'm the only one.
Wow. That's true.
I didn't even realize that until I got home. And my mother was the one that said it. She was like, you realize there were two big alliances. You weren't in either one of them, but you're the only one. And I was like, huh? No, didn't realize that. But I mean, my biggest thing was I wanted to create meaningful relationships, which for me, obviously, because I was on the block all the damn time, meant not talking about game as much because I would get that time to talk game. I didn't really need to like reach out to people. I would get my time. But talking personal stuff, like things about your life, things about your families, like that was how I built my relationships with people because I was like, look, I want to be genuine and I want these people to feel like they can come and approach me with ideas. And that's exactly what ended up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And we saw that. I mean, even now post season, it seems like you're friends with literally everyone. And so shows it totally, your personal relationships show. And it kind of says a lot about, I've talked about this with past BB alums from other seasons who have been on this podcast. There's this Big Brother family that you become a part of when you leave the show. And yes, winning the money is a huge thing, but building those personal relationships can really serve you outside of the house. Cause now you have like this friendship with people and there is no drama like you're experiencing right now. There's none of that. You're like having a good time. You're happy-go-lucky. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I think that's really special.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I mean, we're going to see each other in like a week and a half in Tampa for Halloween. Like, but that's something that we all voluntarily wanted to do because we love each other and want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I have my costumes ready. I'm not saying what they are, but I have my costumes ready to go. And I'm excited for that. You know, like these people are going to be my family for life, but I knew like for me on the show, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Winning the money would have been incredible. Would have been life-changing, but I got to experience this game with 16 really cool people or 15 really cool people besides myself. And I want to keep those relationships, obviously. I mean, that's part of the game.
Yeah, no, totally. So when they flew out to do your opening bit, were you like, oh my God, I'm about to be on this show? Or you still were like, I don't know if I got it.
Oh, you see, what they had told me was they said that they were coming to do a final screen test for me to see if I would be approved. And then that night they were going to decide. And if I was going to get picked, I would get flown out the next morning was what they had told me. So we had no idea. But my first key reveal was at the Niagara Falls and it was 8 a.m. in the morning. It was a monsoon at the falls. Obviously they didn't show this because the camera quality was probably really horrible. But they put it on like the viewfinder at the falls. And I'm like looking in and I'm like looking in like the fake viewfinder. I missed my key 4 times. I'm touching it with my nose. Like it's right here. I'm touching it and I miss it 4 times. And then I finally grab my key and we all start screaming. We're running around the Niagara Falls. Nobody else is there at 7 a.m. and it's raining. So we're running around the falls. We're going crazy. My mom starts crying and my mom looks to the director and goes, so what does this mean? And he goes, she's going on the show. And then we all start flipping out. My sister starts jumping on top of me. She like turns from introvert to extrovert in 5 seconds. She's like, Brittany, you got it. My entire family starts jumping on me. My mom's bawling her eyes out. Like, oh, it was a whole mix.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then 45 minutes later, my phone's taken and yeah.
Yeah. So were you ready for that? Were you like, okay, I know who's going to run all my stuff. Like who's going to, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was in charge of Instagram and TikTok. Phil actually put it upon himself, my brother, to do a TikTok, or not a TikTok, a Twitter account for me, because I had no Twitter.
Okay, so this is a new Twitter.
Yeah, brand new. I don't know how to tweet or use Twitter or do that. So I've been learning as the weeks have gone on. Twitter's very new to me in very a lot of regards, because I don't like talking in 140 characters. It's a little weird. Yes. But no, he took Twitter. Mom and my sister took Instagram and TikTok. And then in terms of all of my, like, myself needs in terms of what Brittany needs to happen in the next 3 months, that was mom.
Wow. So yeah. Like when you, I mean, you had 45 minutes to pack your stuff.
Oh no. We were already packed before they came here. We had to be packed before they came. The only thing was, obviously, because the whole no logos rule, I picked stuff for my shoot that was already in my suitcase. So I had to just repack those things. And then I shipped off from there. But we came from the Niagara Falls, came back to the house. I had to redo my hair because it was soaking wet through the monsoon, had to recurl it, come back out. We do my interview scene. They had me play saxophone on the stairs, because I'm a saxophonist. Like, I played the saxophone. I think that's what you call a saxophone player, a saxophonist. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. You do now. That.
Sure. I am now a saxophonist. If that's not right, someone call me out on it. So I did that on the stairs. Then we did a whole big grill scene with my entire family, where everyone roasted me and said really embarrassing stories about me. Can't believe they didn't air it. I really want that footage, because those stories were funny. Then we did the goodbye scene, and everyone except for Phil had to stay at the house. And then Phil was the only one allowed to come with me to the karate school, because he was my sparring partner.
Wow.
So everyone had to leave me there. And my mother was infuriated. She was like crying her eyes out. She was like, please let me go with you. And they're like, no. And it was really emotional for me too, because my makeup was running like crazy. Phil and I were at the karate school together for about an hour, shooting the last bit of what we needed to do. And then Phil left. And then that was my whole family.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild. And then you were off. Nuts.
And then I was off. And we got stuck in Buffalo that night. We didn't even fly out Saturday night. We got stuck.
That's what's so crazy to me is, like, okay, so you graduated with your master's.
Yep.
Essentially, like, a few weeks later.
Yeah, a month later.
Doing this. You flew out. And then you, because of COVID, did you have to quarantine for 2 weeks?
So not when I got there. So I only... Big Brother always has a sequester period because of the whole announcing of the cast thing. But my sequester period was one of the longest. Mine was 9 days in the hotel. Mine was one of the longest, I believe, out of everyone. Some people didn't leave until that Monday or Tuesday, which is why when I was in the house, I only saw part one of the USA Gymnastics Olympic trials, but other people in the house had seen day two. So when I got in the house and I was like, man, I just want to know who made the Olympic team. Big D and Claire look at me and they're like, we know who made the team. You want to know who's on it? And I was like, oh, yes, share the deets.
because I got kidnapped
before it. So I couldn't see it.
Wow. So when you're sequestered, that you couldn't watch TV.
No.
Oh.
DVDs.
Nine days. That's crazy. And then
in order to train for the show, I actually ended up developing a workout with the deck of cards. So I gave each number and each, like, king, queen, jack, ace, a different workout. So,
well, that's ironic that you used a deck of cards.
Yeah, I did. It was kind of ironic. No, but like twos would be push-ups, threes would be burpees, fours would be this. And I would flip the 54 card deck and I would include the jokers and I would do it every day. Took me like an hour and a half. I did take breaks because
I mean, you've got all day, so
you know, you do have all day. And I'm not even, I don't nap either, and I took a nap every day.
Oh, I believe it. Oh my god,
I don't nap though. Like, napping,
yeah, that's hard. If you're not a napper, that's hard. I'll be asleep after this. I am a napper. Like, I'll nap any time of the day. I'll nap before bed.
I love that.
I
love that.
Oh my gosh, that is so crazy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're just like on the show.
Yeah. We had one press day intermixed in that circle of stuff. But then, yeah, after that, we're on the show. I was in my hotel room June 27th and I was not taken out of my room until July 7th.
Oh my gosh. And then, mm-hmm. you know, then you're in the house and then you're in the jury house.
And then you're,
so you were gone from June 27th.
Yeah. June 26th.
Oh, the 26th. Cause you flew
26. Yeah,
until September 28th.
Yeah. So I think,
Oh
yeah,
my
the
gosh.
28th or no, we were released the 29th at night. Yeah, because the finale was on the 29th, and then once we got our phone back, we were free. Was how it worked.
Oh my gosh. And then
Yeah.
you stayed in LA for like a couple days, but then you went straight home.
I stayed in LA for that night.
And then you went home.
Yeah, and then I went home. Yep. I
Oh.
well, because my biggest thing was I knew that I was going to be seeing them at Halloween, and I knew that I was going to be like I knew we were going to be reconnecting very soon. When I was on the phone with my mother, that I was going to stay until Friday, but when I was on the phone with my mother, she had told me that my nana was in the hospital, so that was my immediate reason to fly back home.
Yeah.
But also, I just missed my family. Like I was away from them
Totally.
for 3.5 months, and like obviously, everyone now knowing my story and stuff like that. You guys can only imagine how hard that was for me to not be with my rocks and with
Yeah.
my support system and not with people who I could so vocalize to and 100% confidence and trust that could help me stop my perseverations or help me with my perspectives on things and see things that I didn't see, you know? But no, I that was but my nana's okay now. She's good. She just
Good.
had she was in the hospital for something dealing with her heart. But she's having a surgery at the end of the month, which should correct it, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
But just she's 82, she's older and she's had some heart problems, so I just get nervous.
No,
But no,
totally.
she's doing great. Saw her yesterday. She's smiling,
No,
she's doing great. But no, I wanted to go home for that reason. But
that makes sense. Yeah. Well, okay. So that night,
yes.
you went to Todrick
I went to
freaking
Todrick
Hall's
Hall's.
house.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Todrick Hall fan. Like everyone did not know that, but I'm a musical theater major in
Yeah, I
college.
mean, you're a dancer.
I'm a
Like, were
dancer.
you freaking out?
I literally bowed down at his feet. I was like, Todrick Hall, Todrick Hall, Todrick Hall. No, I've been such a huge fan of Todrick ever since I was 14. Like I've been watching his YouTube videos for almost my entire life at this point. Like I'm such a huge fan of Todrick's.
I
Like
love
all of his
that.
mashups and like, I mean, you gotta understand as a theater kid, and then you go into college and you major in a BFA program, like that's all y'all talk about is musicals and Todrick Hall.
Yeah.
Musicals, Todrick Hall, and people who've been on Broadway who are doing things with Todrick Hall, or Todrick Hall being on Broadway and killing it in Kinky Boots. Saw those boots in his house. They were insane. But like you talk about Broadway stars and Todrick Hall's videos and pentatonics, like that's what you conversations. But oh my God, it was crazy.
Oh my God.
It was nuts. And then even from him too, I mean, I couldn't, especially because that was the night of my big speech on finale night. He was just, they were all like, they all cried at the speech and they just thought it was one of the most beautiful moments of the season. And I was like,
That is so
like, I was like,
surreal.
what the heck, man? Like, I was like, I've been looking up to you for so long in terms of performance and just in terms of just like him as a performer. I've debated so many times flying out to LA to audition to be a backup dancer of his. That has crossed my mind at least 3 times.
Well, now you
Maybe I'll
have
make it happen
to.
now. Maybe we'll go out there for one of the auditions and it'll be like, oh my God, I know you. And I'll be like, yeah, don't cut me,
Yes,
please.
you absolutely should.
But like, don't cut me, please. But no, I just it was so surreal. It was so surreal. I mean, I met my literal twin Tommy Bracco that night as well. Oh my God, we're twins. We
Love.
are the exact same person. I'm not even kidding
I
you.
mean, when are you hanging out again?
It's happening soon. I think what's gonna happen, he did invite me to New York to stay with him and his boyfriend, who is absolutely so sweet. So I think I'm going to go out to New York for a weekend, and I think that's when it's gonna happen.
I
But I
would
know
be
he also comes out to
fangirling
Buffalo
so
all the time
hard.
though.
Oh
He
my
comes out to
God.
Buffalo pretty often though, because he teaches like master classes here for different organizations in Buffalo. So whenever he does, he knows he has a place to stay.
I
But like
love that.
I think I'll be going out there. I think that's what's gonna happen first.
Oh my God. That would be it. We have to watch that whole reunion. We need TikToks.
Oh, you'll get it all.
We need
You'll get it all.
all of it.
I mean,
I love that.
I still have to duet him because he did the dance to my rap. So I still have to duet
Oh
it. Yeah, that's coming soon.
my gosh. I know. I was like, okay, I have like never done a TikTok dance in my life. And when we're done with this, I'm like going outside and I'm like, I'm gonna duet Britney's TikTok and
Yes.
I'm gonna post. So
Oh my
stay
gosh, do it.
ready.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Literally, when I get off of here, I'll post the one that I'm about to post. And if you want to do it,
Oh,
that one's pretty easy.
done. It's
Got
happening. Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, that's
it.
amazing. I just love watching, like, especially this cast because you
Yeah.
guys were just so amazing. Like, get to experience all the cool stuff, right? Like the meeting Todrick Halls and the getting verified. It's just like fun to watch happen for like good people. And so it's just like, it was so cool. I mean, you were so excited, but, and then we had Britney Got Hacked 2021. Were you?
I'm not even, I was in Disney World. I was in Magic Kingdom when this happens to me. And I'm like, Lord, there's not a worse place for this to be happening right now. And so I'm literally in, well, because what happened was I got a code from TikTok that said, use this code to get into your TikTok account. So I call my brother. I'm like, Phil, are you trying to get in my TikTok? He goes, no. I said, Mom, are you? And I'm standing right next to her. She goes, no. Call my sister. I'm like, are you trying to get in my TikTok? And she goes, no. And so then I look on all my socials. I'm like, okay, I have Instagram still. And then I look on Twitter and I've been completely blacked out. Like I can't even get into my account. Can't, like, no password, no nothing works. And then I'm like, Mom, check my Twitter. What's on it? And they had deleted all of my posts from the last 2 days and then started posting all these things about selling PS5s. And then immediately I go on my Instagram. I'm like, y'all, on my story, I'm like, y'all, if you see this, it's not me. I got hacked. Please don't interact. It's a scam. It's bad. Don't do it. And then I'm emailing CBS. I'm like, please help me. Like, I don't know what's going on. I need help. And then I had everyone from the Big Brother cast. They were all reporting the crap out of every single tweet they saw. Like, I was like, guys, just like stay on it for me, 'cause I can't see it. So just report everything that you see. And they were so good to report every tweet that they saw. And even my followers started going ham on reporting every tweet. And then I finally got it back 36 hours later. And it was the craziest thing I've ever had in my life. I was like, I was like, I got verified. I got hacked. And now I'm back. I'm like, what is this world?
Crazy. I mean, whoever it was like, they saw that blue check and they were like, I'm coming in. Yeah. Like, crazy.
No, it was crazy. Needless to say, two feature authentication is now on for every single one of my platforms, because that is never happening to me again. I swear to God, knock on wood. It was just scary because obviously, like, the people who do that, they don't care about your account. They care about selling their product. You know what I mean? Right. And unfortunately, the scam worked for some people. And obviously, it's not of my fault because I had absolutely no control over it. But I feel horrible because obviously they thought it was me and it was not, clearly. But everyone should know that I don't sell PS5s. And that I felt so bad, obviously. And I was like, look, but my whole thing was like, I did nothing to cause this. It was something completely out of my hands. And the only thing that I can do is hopefully warn people in as many places as possible, which I tried to do. And a lot of people, once they saw that, were like, thank God I didn't go through it. And I was like, God. So most of the people didn't go through with it.
Yeah. And I think that helped people report it too. 'Cause then they were like, oh absolutely. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, no. Yeah.
What a crazy thing. So, okay. That leads me to, you came home from the house, you know, saw your family, super exciting. And then you went to Disney.
I went to Disney.
I mean, it's like, it kind of reminds me of that moment when like they go up to people when they win the Super Bowl and they're like, what are you doing now? And they're like, I'm going to Disney World. And it's like, that's what it felt like for me. So that was that kind of your trip where you were like, I'm just going to hang out with my fam and like, go have a good time.
Yeah. Well, they surprised me with that trip actually, because that was when I got my phone back finale night. They told me that, look, you're going on a plane in the next 2 weeks. I said, cool. Where are we going? They said, we're going to Florida. I said, oh, what we doing? They're like, we're going to Gainesville to see your sister. Then we're all going to Disney World to celebrate your time on Big Brother. And I was like, how fun is that? Sign me up. I was like, this is perfect. And so, but no, it was just, it was the perfect culmination of just being able to be with family and being able to enjoy myself in Disney. And just, I love Disney so much. That was my 16th time going to Disney World. I'm a huge Disney fanatic. Like I'm obsessed. Obsessed with Disney.
My gosh. That is like, a lot of times.
I have a system in the park. Like it's like, when you go with me, you are on the Britney schedule.
I mean, I'm trying to go with you now. Okay. That is like,
that's okay. We'll go. We'll go.
We need to go. That sounds amazing.
It's a Britney system. The Britney system always works. It is 100% guaranteed to give you happiness.
I love that. Okay.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
So there's a lot coming up the rest of the year. You've got Halloween where you're going to hang out with some BB friends. And then, I mean, it's Thanksgiving, it's the holidays. Yeah. So are you kind of taking the rest of the year to like chill, or like, what's next for Brittany?
Yeah. So what's next for me? So, okay. So in terms of like the BB cast, of like what we're doing. So we are doing Halloween, Big D's 30th in November, because it's Big 30th or Big 30th birthday for him. And then New Year's is going to be BB cast events. But then in terms of myself, I will be starting up teaching in the next 2 weeks, which is very exciting for me. We've just been starting to finalize all the details because I can't be like my own classroom teacher, obviously, because I took the show and I went into the school year. So I had to give up my eligibility, but the school that I student taught at loved me so much that they are now offering me a building base, which is just as good, which is great. So I should be starting that off in the next 2 weeks. I think my start date is November 2nd is the day that I start teaching again, which is, I mean, I'm just so excited to be interacting with my kids again, like just all of my kids, which is great for subbing too, because it'll really give me the opportunity to know exactly what grade I want to teach. I have an idea, but it'll give me exactly where I want to teach, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That'll be great. And then I just started teaching at our local studio back in Niagara Falls. I teach dance. So I teach every Monday night now, which is fantastic. But no, so I've just like, now I'm like starting to slowly get back into my like grind of like my regular schedule of work and stuff, but no. And then obviously social media is a world that I am slowly starting to navigate. But obviously just another huge part of myself is teaching and teaching in all capacities, but also interacting with fans and interacting with those who unconditionally supported me this season and just want to know so many questions, and I would love to answer them for them. So that kind of stuff too. I definitely would love to do a lot of interacting. And then also in December is Hearts of Reality.
Oh yes.
Hearts of Reality is from the 9th to the 12th. So that's going to be really, really fun.
And that's in Florida.
That's in Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll put a link or something at the bottom. Yes.
Yes. It was so crazy. It just, people are just, they've been so generous. I literally put my link out there for the, for like my fundraising page 2 days ago, and we're already 2/3 of the way there.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. It's insane, but no, that should be an amazing event. I was actually just signing photos for them over there a little while before.
How crazy is that? Like, you're like, weird. Are you like, oh my gosh. Like that's so, you're signing photos.
It was a little weird in Disney, I'll be honest. Disney was, but like weird in the best way possible.
Totally.
Because I really did not think I was going to get recognized in Disney. Did not even cross my mind that that would become something that I would deal with. And that it happened over and over and over again. But like everyone that I met was so sweet. And I was like, yo, like let's have a damn party, man. Like it was so cool because like one person would recognize me, and then when I was standing, taking a picture with them, they'd be like, oh my God, wait a second. And then they would come over and like these small groups would start forming in the middle of these parks. And I was like, hey, I'm normal. Hello. But no, it was just, Disney was so crazy for that aspect though. Cause like we met so many amazing, amazing people who just loved me throughout the season and loved me postseason and want to continue to support me. And I was like, well, y'all are so nice.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
It was very humbling. It was very humbling.
So well deserved for you, I will say. Thank you. So would you ever go back in the house?
I would do it. No, you know what? BB gave me a once in a lifetime opportunity to play a game that I love, and I would love to go back and get roasted by Zingbot. That is the one thing I missed, was getting roasted.
Oh, that's true. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's like on the BB checklist. So
I want to do that, and I want to play BB comics. So I want to go back.
Oh,
I got to do those two things.
Yeah, you have
to. Those two things.
Oh my gosh. So would you prefer to go back for an all-star season, or would you rather be like a twist in a regular season?
I would do either, honestly. No, I just think any opportunity to go back and play the game, I would take. Didn't matter to me if it was an all-star season. Obviously, I would be honored to be called back for an all-star season. But no, honestly, I would be cool with either. I really would.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so amazing. Okay, so you guys are all going to see each other very soon.
Very soon.
So I guess besides Kyland, I mean, you really didn't have any beef with anyone, but maybe you've seen some stuff happening online. It seems like there are some apologies that are owed to other people, not you, maybe necessarily. You don't feel that you, besides Kyland, were needed to have that conversation. Yeah. But like, how does that feel kind of just watching on the sidelines, like some sort of like, maybe not beef, but just like uncomfortable conversations that need to happen among other cast members?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really, in terms of like those conversations, I've seen a little bit of it, But I'll be really honest with you. And besides just posting what I post on social media, I've really been trying to stay off of it as much as possible, only because I'm still trying to get used to the world of social media again. And I'm still trying, like, and obviously, as you say, BB Twitter can be intense. So no, honestly, I've really been trying to stay off of it as much as possible. But what I would say to anyone is just like a conversation can work magic sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And just having a conversation can really help two people who need to have that conversation come to an understanding of some sort. And
Yeah.
that is exactly what I was not afraid to do with Kylan. I was like, look, I need my time first. And then when I'm ready, we have the conversation we needed to. We'll probably have more conversations, like I told you down the line about it, but you just handle it like two people, because if this, at the end of the day, you are a family. You are bonded by this very unique experience, and things can be talked out. Things can be worked out. Not in every situation. I mean, I'm like not related to Big Brother, but just like sometimes conversations don't work. But a conversation is a good place to start.
Yeah. No, I love that. So have you gone back and rewatched the season, the
No.
live feeds? All right. And you don't plan on it.
No, I do. My
Okay.
only hesitation, I'll be really honest with you, is the fact that I've been told that I was portrayed as the crier on the season. And I'm like, I did not
Oh,
cry the most of
Brittany.
anyone. I was like, my whole thing was like, I really, and like anybody in the house will tell you this, I did not cry the most. I was up there for crying, but honestly, for me, crying was another way of processing. It honestly became a processing mechanism for me in terms of my disability and how I perseverate over things in my mind. So when I cried, it gave me the 1 minute to let out my emotions, let the endorphins out of my face, and then move on, because what I didn't want to be was an emotional player. Did I have emotions in the house? Absolutely. But there's a huge difference between emotions and emotional player. And the second one, I was not.
Totally.
I was a strategic player that had emotions,
That's totally fair.
but I never made my decisions with my emotions. But no, I just was like, what? I mean, it makes sense, because I was always on the block. And I guess, like, because the whole thing about being on the block is like, it's never great being on the block, even though you know you're a pawn. It
No,
doesn't
it, yeah.
always go on, but like, even if you know you're a pawn, you still go through all the emotions of being on the block. You still don't know if you're safe
Because
until
you
the
don't
police come,
know. Yeah.
because you don't know, because anything can happen in Big Brother. Expect the unexpected. But you're not safe until Julie tells you the other person's going home. And so, I mean, through all those weeks, especially with Frenchie and with Brent, like, you still feel it. You still do. You
Yeah.
still are nervous. Those Thursdays before eviction were the longest days of my life, which is why I was like, when I knew that I was getting nominated by DX, because I volunteered myself to go up against the king, I was like, get me the damn veto, because I'm not sitting here for a Thursday.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
can't.
no, I,
Nope,
and
get me off.
that makes sense. And then, yeah, when you're on the block, you get that airtime. So it's like they're gonna put,
They're gonna put the
you,
crying on there. That's
yeah.
fine. But like,
And that kind of goes back to like something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast is the live feeds and the show
are
edit,
completely different.
totally
Totally
different.
different.
Totally different.
And
I mean,
everyone has told me that too.
there's seasons that I watch back where I might be like, oh my God, I loved this season. And then like my partner who he co-host this podcast with me. This is his first year watching it in real time.
Yeah.
He had never seen the show before. And I was like, cool.
Oh.
I'm a super fan. You've never seen it. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
And we watched back a season that I remember being like, oh no, I love these people. I love this season. And the show is like, wait, these people are like the worst people ever. And I'm like, but I don't remember it like that because I was watching the feed. So like
Yeah.
the edit is just totally different than like
Yeah.
what was actually happening. And so that makes sense. Like, yes, you cried X amount of times, but if that's all they're showing, of course people are going to say, oh, she cried the whole time. But it's like there's
Yeah.
so much else happening.
No, absolutely. And it's funny too, because like a lot of t like I've been doing a lot of lives on TikTok, just because, like I said, I love interacting with my TikTok base, only because I had that base before coming in the house. So now since coming out of the house, it has expanded, which I'm very, very grateful and blessed for. But now I have even more people to interact with, which is amazing. Because they all bring me new insights, and they all bring new questions and new positivity to the group, which I love, because my TikTok is all about positivity. If you're about negativity, get out. That's how we roll on my TikTok. But like, a lot of people, even like really dedicated live feeders, were like, Brittany live feed was not a crier.
Yeah.
Brittany live feed was a strategic game player who did everything she could to stay in the house and was a fighter till the end.
Yes.
The live show didn't show that, but
Yeah.
live feed did. And I
Yeah.
was like, sick. Thanks, guys.
I mean, and I feel for you because, like, I literally just like cried in a job interview or like teared up. But like I cry like all the time.
Crying is
so
normal.
Like it's just like it's weird because like I feel like I cry for like every emotion. So yeah. Like when I'm happy, I'll like tear up. When I'm nervous, I cry like every emotion. So like I get it. It's like how you said, it's like how you process. Like I get that. Like yeah. I feel like a lot of people, if they sit back and like think about it, they're probably like, oh, like maybe I do that too, or I know someone who does that too, or whatever.
Yeah, it was the quickest way to process things in a high pressure cooker situation as the Big Brother house.
Oh my God.
It was the easiest way.
I literally, yeah, that is crazy. Okay, so you get out of the house, you're headed home. Who do you talk to every day? I mean, you mentioned you talk to Frenchie a lot. Like, who are you? Yeah. Are you talking to everybody every day?
Yeah. Well, we have group chats. So we okay. all talk to each other every day anyways. We have four.
Okay.
So many. But no, honestly, I talk to Frenchie every day. Frenchie, Aza, Big D, Christian are the people that I've been talking to almost every day. Liz and I talk every day as well. Honestly, I just, Liz, we were texting last night because Liz had a modeling gig today. And I was like, Liz, you've got this, girl. You're going to be beautiful. You got this. And she was like, you're literally my hype woman. And I love you. And I said, I love you because I am everyone's hype woman. And that is just the way it's going to be. But no, honestly, I really talk to everyone. Like DX and I just talked a couple of days ago. Claire and I talked a couple of days ago. Obviously, Claire and I need to be talking about Survivor because we are the only two that religiously watched it outside of the house, including
it's
Christian.
It's true. We need a podcast from you all about Survivor.
We may need to make something up. but like, I just started watching it today and I'm like, yes, yes. Oh my God. I'm so excited. But no, I've really been talking to so many people, which has been great. Yeah. Cause we really are a family, and those personal relationships that I made with them in the house really did translate. And especially with jury members, jury got so close. We really did. You know what I mean? Like DX and I were close in the house. We got even closer in jury. We did. SB, same thing.
SB, yeah. Same thing. That's someone hasn't come up a lot, which I think is a good thing. Is SB. So you guys are really good friends.
Yeah, no, we're good. Honestly, SB and I, it was tough because obviously in the game perspective, I lost trust in SB when she asked me to throw that veto to her twice when I was sitting right next to her on the block. That to me showed me one thing and one thing only, which is that you value your game over mine and you value a lot of other people's game over mine as well. If you have no problem asking me to throw a veto when I'm sitting right next to you. So that really hurt our relationship in the house. And then the day before I leave, we have a heart to heart. And the conversation was trying to, it almost was like a who broke trust with who first kind of a thing. And like, oh, I felt like I couldn't trust you. And I was like, SB, I feel like I can't trust you either. And like all of these things. And I feel like it was a really big misunderstanding. And I feel like she really did not understand how big of a weight her asking me to throw that veto had for me in terms of how much I trusted her, because then you see a name that crew and I pick her and Kai first. And I was not afraid to do so because if anyone asked me, I was like, you asked me to throw a veto twice. You were the one I had to do. Like it was a no brainer for me. And then honestly, and I told this to Kai too, it had nothing to do with Kai. It really just, cause Kai was honest with me that entire week. He was like, look, I'm going to use the veto on SB. I said, thank you for being honest with me. I pick him for the veto. He tells me the same thing. I said, thank you for being honest with me. We really didn't like, Kai and I had a very blunt relationship before week six happened. But no, SB and I are cool. We really got to talk a lot of stuff out in jury, especially pertaining to Kylan and the way that some of the lies that he had said to her right before coming out of the house. We really bonded over that because obviously what happened to her happened to me.
Yeah.
But obviously to her, I don't know if it was better or worse. But regardless of that fact, it happened to her as well. And so we were able to really talk a lot of stuff out in jury. And obviously I love SB. Like SB's got a great heart. She's wonderful. And I was so happy that I got to know SB and jury, like really know SB, which was awesome.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So
SB is a wonderful person.
You were the first person in the jury house.
Yes,
which
I was.
Has its perks.
It does.
So something when I watched back, I was sort of like, oh, there's actually a little bit of strategy in going to jury first, second, third, or fourth, because there's this potential
of the battle back.
Battle back.
Yep.
Were you thinking about that at all?
Oh, I was training for it every day.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on the elliptical every single day so that I knew, because it was so funny to me, because even being in jury, everyone was like, yeah, like if we do a battle back, like DX is coming back. I was like, y'all don't count me out. I was like, don't count me out of this. Don't count me out of this battle back if it happens. I said, if there's a battle back, don't think I'm not fighting DX to get back in this house. I love DX dearly, but I'm fighting to get back in too. But no, I was on the elliptical every single day, but that was for two reasons. Number one was the battle back potential. But number two was the fact that when I was in the house, I really let myself go. In terms of like, I was so stressed all the time that I just ate whatever was in front of me and I gained weight in the house. But then in jury, I lost 15 pounds, which was phenomenal. Yeah. I worked out on the elliptical for 30, 40 minutes a day. I was able to cook all of my own food. I ate super clean. Like I made fish, salmon, chicken, egg scrambles, stir fries. Like I made everything for myself in jury, you know? So I wanted to eat clean. I wanted to be healthy. And I was able to do that.
That's actually a really interesting point. Do you think being able to go outside made a difference in that aspect?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, vitamin D is just healthy. Yeah. Like it's just, I mean, LA has a beautiful, I mean, they have beautiful weather and we only got to experience it in the Big Brother house for one day a week, 2 days if we were lucky,
That's crazy.
So being in the jury, I was outside all the time.
Yeah.
I would read outside. I would tan outside. I would sit outside. I would lay outside. I'd nap outside. Who knew?
Yeah.
I would do whatever I needed to outside because I was like, I spent so much time inside.
Yeah. No, we just moved to LA like 3 weeks ago from Portland, Oregon, where it's like the sun does not shine.
No.
And we have just noticed like how different we feel, just like the natural light and like being outside and like being able to like not, I don't know. It's just so, it makes such a difference.
No, absolutely. And honestly, like, cause throughout the next year, I'm really going to be traveling to a lot of different cities. When I did a teacher recruitment day last year for my master's program, I was reached out by a lot of different cities for interviews. So I'm definitely going to be traveling around and like seeing the areas and seeing where I may want to live. LA is on that list.
Well, let us know
as a potential. But honestly, just because I really just felt so good in the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's huge. I think it's huge.
It's so huge. No, totally. Oh, that's really cool. So what was it like? So the first week you're like, you go from being in a house with like 15 other people to being alone in the jury house. Correct. Were you like, sigh, breath of fresh air, this is fantastic? Or were you like having withdrawals?
No. I was sigh, breath of fresh air. Thank goodness I got out when I did. But honestly, I say that with a twofold thing, because now looking back, I really did get evicted at a good time. And I love being juror number one. I did, because I was able to get the entire week by myself to decompress, process my game, and then just chill.
Yeah.
I didn't have to answer to anybody. I didn't feel like I had to talk to anybody. I could just sit and chill. I'm a very extroverted person, but being in that environment for that long, especially in the stress that I was enduring, because people can say they fought since day one. No, I fought since day one. Like I was one of the people who was fighting since literally the second I walked in that house, I was fighting. But no, I mean, honestly, after the fight that I did, and I was proud of the fight that I gave, I was so proud of the fight that I gave. I never gave up in that house. I fought like hell. I did everything that I could. And I was at peace with that. Yeah. So then after that, being able to chill in the house and just relax and enjoy the fact that I still had a vote, there could be a battle back, but if there's not, I still get a vote.
Yeah.
And I still get to be here on finale night. I mean, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
No, it was amazing. And then, like you said, you got to build those relationships deeper in jury without, live feeds on all the time. And
yeah. I kind of acted as the liaison in jury between those that just got evicted and those that were already there in terms of like, I know it's tough because there's a reason why we're not allowed to talk about game in jury. It's because they want everyone to have that decompression and that relaxation period. But I would approach everybody that had just come in a jury and was like, look, like, just know that you can just chill and relax. Know that people are going to ask you questions. Know that you don't have to answer every single question you get asked because this is your chill time too. And technically speaking, you don't really have to answer anything you don't want to. So just feel free to chill and relax. And if any conversation really makes you nervous or you just want to stop talking about the game, just go inside or leave the area. Cause I would do that all the time. Like sometimes they would like, we would talk game for like 5 minutes or whatever. But even that for me, well, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to the hot tub. Yep. I love the hot tub. It was the best because it actually was hot. Cause the one in the BB house was not. The one in the BB house.
That's tea.
Oh, it was lukewarm all the time. It was just lukewarm. Nothing better.
Oh, that's not good. That's not even a hot tub.
No. No, the pool was freezing and the hot tub was lukewarm. It was a disaster.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really funny.
But no.
So what was it like for you when you found out about the cookout?
Oh my God, I was so well, okay, because basically what happened was I committed a jury. I knew nothing about it. DX comes in a jury, has the information from Kai that a secret alliance has been together since day one and no one's been evicted. We think at that point that it's Kylan, Oz, and Tiffany, and X. And we don't know about Big D and Hannah, but we mentioned their names. And then I figured out the duos. And I was like, okay, Oz is with Big D, which was wrong. It was me. Kylan's with SB, X is with Alyssa, Tiff's with Claire. And then SB comes to jury and goes, Kylan said to me six. And so we're like, okay, so then it's Xavier, Azza, Tiffany, Xavier, Azza, Tiffany, Chada, Kylan, and Big D. We're like, this is the six. And we were like, there's never been a Black winner or Big Brother before. There's never been an African American winner. This makes total sense. They're playing this game for this bigger mission. And I was like, I'm honored. Y'all, they duped the hell out of me. I was like,
Yeah.
I'm honored to have been duped because really the duo system and the mass, we didn't know who created the master plan, but we knew it was the six. But we just, this plan that they had enacted with Tiffany, I was like, this was genius. Because me getting out of the house, I couldn't see anything. I was
That's
like,
so funny. So you really couldn't tell. Like you
no.
really were just like not. And I think it helped too that they didn't really get along that well in the house.
Well,
So
I
it
mean,
was
I was
like,
also in the middle of a big fight between three of them. So I didn't think anything of it because I was
right.
like, look, Azza, Big D, Tiff, and myself were just in an argument the week before. And I was sitting there staying quiet and it was just not going well.
Yeah,
It was just
duh.
not well. And so, but no, they, I mean, they came together for a bigger mission, a bigger purpose. And they are not the best, one of the best alliances to ever play Big Brother. I mean, they are the only alliance of six to get to six. That is a
That's
fact, you
crazy.
know? So they, I mean, the game that they played, the fact that no more than two cookout members can be in the same room at the same time. I mean, you gotta commend the gameplay.
Yeah.
And then you gotta commend the fact that they all came together despite their own differences for a mission. Like you gotta commend that too. You do. I
Yeah.
mean, it's so beautiful. We made history this season for so many different reasons. Obviously, crowning Xavier as the first African American and Big Brother was a huge one, was a biggie of the
Yeah.
things that we broke in history. But I mean, it was insane. Like, I
You
could
were
not have.
kind of in an interesting spot there at the end because you had Big D and Azza, who
I
were
did.
your two people.
I did.
And were you almost relieved that only one of them was in the final two? Because what would you have done?
If Azza and Big D had both been there, firstly, I would have cried. Secondly, I would have voted Azza. Azza would have got my vote. I just felt like had because I because we had known that Azza won before getting into that. We knew Azza won part two, so we knew that if X was coming to us, it was Azza's doing. And in that case, that was the move that we were waiting for. We said it from the beginning. Whoever cuts Kai and whoever cuts X, those are the biggies right now, and we
Yeah.
want to know who did it. And obviously, Xavier cut Kai slash Big D cut Kai. And then if Azza would have done it, Azza would have had my vote. But no, it was just, I was so excited at three. And that was one of the huge reasons why at the round table, I was so excited because I was like, my jokers are still in there. Like they're 66%. Like one of them's going to final two. And it was nuts though, because I couldn't even, like, I felt at round table that I couldn't even be excited about that. Like I really felt that, like, I really had to hide how excited I was that both of my teammates were still in the game. I really had to hide it because Kai did have some supporters and jury of people who were really considering voting for him and did want him to see him go further. And for me, I was like, look, I would love to see Kai walk through the door because I don't want to see Azza or Big D walk through the door. And I kind of don't
Your
want to see X go
face,
either.
I'm sure you've seen the clip
Yes.
of your face when Kai walks in. You look like a child meeting Santa Claus.
Yep. No, I was so excited because honestly, at that point, and I know I talked to him about this, at that point when roundtable happened, I was excited and I was relieved that I wasn't even going to have to think about whether or not that vote was getting cast for him, because that would have been something I would have had to think through for the next 2 days as to who would that vote have gone to had he been sitting next to either one of the other people in the final three. And I didn't have to think about that anymore because I was like, look, he's evicted. And
Yeah.
now it's Azza, Big D, and X, and it's 66% jokers, One of my jokers is sitting in the final two, if not both of them. And I was very proud.
Were you like at all thinking like X is going to get out? Like this is going to be the time he gets evicted? Or were you just like, he is just on
at four?
Yeah.
No, because we had known at that point that X had thrown so many competitions, he was not going to throw anymore. It just didn't make any sense for him. And we had no idea. Like, I don't think I still to this day know the capacity as to how well Xavier can compete, because when he needed to win, he won, obviously. But like, the wall, he didn't need to drop. He didn't need to drop at all. I would have loved to see how long he actually could have gone without like being like, oh, DX, I'm going to drop for you. Just keep you safe. Thanks, bud. Flop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Ooh, I still think to this day, we don't understand how great of a competitor Xavier is. And I would love to see him going something else so that I can see that fully where he won't have to throw things. But like, I just, we knew he was going to turn it on. And we just, if I could have placed a bet as to who was going to win that final four HOH, my bet was on X. And then I was right. And I was like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. He was an insanely good competitor.
Insanely good competitor. I mean, I threw nothing in that house. And I'm not afraid to say that because some of my performances were embarrassing. So I should say that I threw some things. Okay. But I'm not afraid to say that. I threw nothing in that house.
You gave it your all. And I think that is so commendable. And it got you as far as it did. I mean, you made it to jury. That's something to be super proud of.
Thank you.
And yeah, I mean, this will be stuck in my head for as long as I'm alive. I will see you wearing something that looks very similar to this, going like this. And I love it. I love it. It's so good.
There was so much leading up to that competition too. Oh my gosh. I will never forget that competition for as long as I live. I wanted that win so badly. Because at that point, once DX got eliminated, when I thought I was getting eliminated, well, number one, I had no choice. But number two, I mean, the title of the first female to win a major comp was on the line.
Yeah.
That was at stake. And one thing that I said I really wanted to do in the house was have that title. I wanted it bad. And at that point, no female had won a major comp. We had only won wild cards, which are very still commendable, but it's not up against everyone. And I'm like, you know what? This is as good of any. Go, Brittany, go.
Did your head hurt after that?
Oh, it wasn't my head. It was my neck. I couldn't turn my neck for 3 days. I talked to people like this. I was like, hello, hello, how are you doing? Yeah, you're going to have to come over here. Thank you. Yep. No, this way. Yep. Thank you. Hi.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looked like
Alyssa and I were helping each other apply icy hot patches to the back of our necks for the next 3 days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That
was tough. And then the bruises though from the block burners sucked. Our bruises, Sarah Beth had the worst ones, but like our bruises from the block burner were disgusting. Disgusting.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what a cool experience to have with like other people and just like.
No, absolutely. And like, obviously, like there was a huge screaming match too between Big D and Christian, because Christian was cheering nonstop for Alyssa and Big D was cheering nonstop for me. And it was a race of who could cheer louder for the other person. Oh my God. It was the best. And then a moment they didn't even get to show on the episode, which I heard they didn't show, but it was one of my favorite moments, was right after I won the Denialator. Big D has never ran so fast in his life than when he did, when he ran down those spiral stairs and jumped on top of me for that win. Him and Ozzy gave me the biggest group hug. We were jumping up and down being like, Jokers, Jokers. That was great. I wish they would have showed it. I'm so mad. I'm like, guys, this was the moment you show. This is the heartwarming moment of the Jokers, okay?
Yeah, that would have been great TV.
Absolutely. Man.
Oh my God. I love that. That is so amazing. Oh, Brittany, thank you. This was so fun.
This was so much fun. Oh my gosh.
This was amazing. Like, you're amazing. This was amazing. If you're ever in LA, like, let us know. We'll take you to dinner. Show you around.
Yeah, yes. Of course. I would love that so much.
Yes.
I would love that so much.
Yeah. Like when you come out to audition for Todrick's show.
You know, could happen.
Well, this was amazing. I thank you so much.
Thank you. You are such a good interviewer. Honestly, this was so much fun. I truly would want to say thank you though, because like, just your kind words and just the way that you like handle this interview. And just thank you for letting me be on this and just enjoy this time with you. Like, this was so fun.
I had a blast, like, truly. Thank you. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.